This Focus with Paul W. Smith podcast is sponsored by Victor's Home Solutions. Visit victors.com, experts in home solutions.
Woohoo! It's another beautiful day, and it's Tuesday. I've learned recently the least favorite day of the week of many people, including Danielle Mason, pressing all the right controls. Mike Parsons is here, our executive producer, as is Rich Luzinski, WJR Traffic and Weather First, and your host. And I never looked at Tuesday as a bad day, but people are saying it's when the Monday blues catch up with you. Well, you've got to enjoy the way it looks outside right now. It is sunny and beautiful, and that makes up for a lot of anything bad that you might be feeling. We are ready to go. Lots going on. Big news at 2:15 on JR Afternoon. Chris Renwick will once again welcome former President Donald Trump to his show. And I'm always looking forward to hearing Chris talking with the former president, and we'll all be able to do that again at 2:15. If you miss it, you can stream it. Like you can stream us at WJR.com or on the WJR app. It's a wonderful way to participate and be a part of WJR wherever you are. If you're a snowbird or just coming back from Florida, or from Arizona, wherever you might hang out, you can always have us with you at WJR.com on the podcasts, which is at the bottom of the page. You just hit the little button and boom, there's a bunch of podcasts. A horrific story in the news, and Andy Arena, the executive director of the Detroit Crime Commission, former head of the FBI in Detroit, will be here to talk about four members. First, it was three. A fourth has died. Four members of the U.S. Marshal Task Force killed and a number injured while trying to serve a warrant in Charlotte, North Carolina. This is not the first time officers have been ambushed when they were trying to serve a warrant. I'm going to ask Andy if maybe it's time to come up with a new way to serve warrants, like when the person is not holed up in their home fully armed. I'm sure they do what they do for the reasons that they do them, but this is not the first time we've heard of officers being shot at when they're trying to serve a warrant. Am I right about that? You remember that, Mike, in the news in the past?
Yeah, and it sounded like, at least reports earlier, that it might not have been just the suspect who they shot who was shooting at him. One of the other two people who they took into custody might have also been shooting as well. And it's just one of those jobs where you leave the house and you hope you come back, but you can never guarantee it.
Never, which is why we have the 100 Club in Detroit, which we'll talk about again soon. But the reality is two of the most dangerous times. One, obviously trying to serve a warrant. And number two is when you get a domestic violence call because you go there to save someone. And oftentimes the person you're there to save inexplicably turns on you as the saving officer.
Right. I mean, the abuse and the brainwashing is so strong that they end up turning on the person who's there to save them because they're under the abuser's spell or their thumb or so afraid of them that they wonder what's going to happen if, they're not taken to jail and they don't intervene.
And meanwhile, just as I predicted but hoped it wouldn't be the case, that did any of the colleges stand up to what they had said? Yesterday, it was, I think, Columbia that said at 2 o'clock, you had to be gone. 2 o'clock, we got off the air. I watched. 2 o'clock came and went, and nothing happened. And, in fact, these students have become more emboldened because they realize they're dealing with ineffective losers as the presidents of their universities. It has been an incredibly eye-opening experience for all of us to see just how bad higher education has become at these colleges and universities. misled by leftist professors. It is astonishing, I think eye-opening for many of us, that this can happen this way. As the protests and encampments proliferate on college campuses, now some companies are wondering if these actions could start to spread to offices as well. You know that Google has already fired now about 50 employees for protesting the company's relationship with the Israeli government. And the only thing that these people can do, these CEOs of these various companies, is hope, beg, plead with the employees to keep politics out of the workplace, but it does not appear to be possible.
So Columbia has begun the process of suspending some of the protesters who haven't dispersed, but obviously, I mean, I don't know how much of a deterrent that is. I mean, all it is a piece of paper telling them they can't go to school there anymore. I think the protesters are kind of past that point. I don't know how much of a deterrent that is. However, at Northwestern, it seems like the administration and the protesters have kind of come up with a compromise. So maybe that's a blueprint going forward, because like I said, other than that, I don't see how this ends. I don't see these colleges divesting from any of the companies that they're invested in Israel, and I don't see the protesters dispersing if they don't do that. So
hundreds of protesters have been arrested on over 20 college campuses coast to coast. Schools prepare for spring commencement ceremonies. Some have already canceled them. Overnight, at least 200 student protesters at Columbia barricaded the entrance to one of the school's main buildings for undergraduates. Protesters began occupying the building hours after the school began suspending students who refused to vacate on on-campus encampment. Another Ivy League school, Cornell University, said Monday it was suspending student protesters who declined to move to an alternate location. Dozens of others were also arrested at UT Austin, most of whom were not even believed to be affiliated with the university. That's the other part of it. It's these professional protesters being funded by somebody, having nothing to do, no skin in the game, really, not even students at the universities, and they're out there. But the problem is going to be that I still believe, in the same way that these students are crying amnesty because they've never been held accountable or responsible for anything in their lifetime, including their own college expenses, they're going to be paid for by Biden. That's what they've learned. I'm not convinced any of these people really believe, and for good reason, that any of the punishments are going to stand. Now, I would hope that you make it into the breaking the law end of it, and you're taken off campus by police for breaking the law, that those charges will stand. But I'm not even sure of that. Don't even know. And we're underway with the third week of former President Donald Trump's hush money criminal trial. And he was just fined $9,000 because he can't control himself. It's one of my biggest fears and problems with the Donald. Having had his cell phone and a relationship for 40 years that's ended, I don't think he can be trusted to control himself, and he digs himself deeper and deeper, like the woman that he claimed he had nothing to do with in a dressing room at Bergdorf Goodman, and yet he's still going to have to pay $80 million to her because he wouldn't shut up. Now he's running into the same problem, whether he likes it or not, and can fight this legally in the courtroom, but he can't fight it on the street. You know the way our parents told us, if you get pulled over by the police, they're the judge and jury right then and there. You do everything they say to do. You follow what they say to do. We can always fight it later in court, but you can't fight it on the street. Donald's parents apparently never told him that. We continue in Focus on WJR. Being a cop has never been easy, but it's gotten harder, tougher, and more dangerous, without question. We're going to talk to a guy who knows a lot about that. He's the executive director of the Detroit Crime Commission. He's the former head of the FBI in Detroit. He is Andy Arena. Andy, it is always a pleasure and a privilege to welcome you to the program.
Hey, Paul, it's been a while. Thanks for having me on.
It has been a while because, well, we figured you only liked to come on when you had to get up at an ungodly hour in the morning.
anything for you, my friend.
We promise it won't be like that, and you won't be a stranger around here. I'm sorry, it's about a horrific story, though, in that four officers killed in a shooting while attempting to serve a warrant at a home in Charlotte, North Carolina. A total of eight law enforcement officers shot during the incident. It is one of the worst stories ever with this many fatalities.
Yeah, Paul, I mean, in my lifetime, in my career in law enforcement, this is probably the darkest day. I mean, for the law enforcement community across the country, you know, when you leave your house every day to go to the job, you know the danger's out there. But I mean, this obviously certainly really drives it home. And I think as you mentioned, Paul, it's so much different. I mean, policing and law enforcement is such a different profession from when I started, you know, all those years, 37 years ago. And, you know, I don't know. It's hard for me when young people come to me and talk about the profession. You know, it's hard to recommend it because I just know what they're in for. It, you know, the safety issues, and then we see what's going on college campuses, the disrespect that law enforcement officers are getting. It's really you have to have a calling, I think, to go to law enforcement today.
Well, you do, and you know that's a very good point, Andy Arena, with us. The disrespect these students have no trouble showing these officers on the college campuses is unlike anything I could have ever dreamed of. The way they engage and fight these police officers, I never would have dreamed of back when I was in college. I mean, it wasn't done. And yet these kids do it with utter abandon as if they know they're not going to get in any trouble. It reminds me of the New York police officers wrestled to the ground by illegals and getting kicked and punched, and they didn't pull out their service revolver and protect themselves for fear of what would happen to them. That's how screwed up things are in our society right now.
Well, Paul, I was watching a video last night on social media, police officers at UCLA, and the guy's wielding a sword like he's King Arthur. I mean, this guy's got that type of a broadsword. And an officer pulls his weapon. I don't know if it was his service weapon or taser, but doesn't point it. Pulls it out of the holster and orders the guy to drop it. And a protester, of course, is videotaping this with his iPhone, and he's yelling at the police officer, calling him an effing pig and just screaming and screaming. The officer just kept his composure, right? And then I get up this morning and see and the guy keeps saying, that's not a weapon, it's just a sword. Well, then we saw what happened in London, right? An official with a sword killed a 14-year-old. So it is a weapon.
Of course.
You know, show a little respect and stay out of the way and let them do their job. They weren't beating the guy. They're looking for issues, Paul. They're looking to get famous. They're looking to antagonize. And it's just, I don't know. I don't know what our society's come to.
I don't either. Andy Arena, executive director of the Detroit Crime Commission, former head of the FBI in Detroit. I mentioned earlier that seemingly two of the most dangerous calls you can get in any area of law enforcement is a domestic violence. And that's because when you go there and you're there to help and protect the person who's getting beaten, that person often turns on the officers with the other person who was beating them, because then all of a sudden the officer becomes the bad guy, which is so bizarre and makes it very dangerous. But it seems to me, too, Andy, that serving warrants when you're going to somebody's house when we know they have guns and maybe other friends there with guns, I'm not certain we should be going to houses to serve warrants. Wouldn't it be worth putting someone on to tail this person and to grab them when they're away from the house, when we have a better odds of not getting shot at by other people in the house?
Well, Paul, you know, the first point, you're exactly right. The domestic disturbances are the worst, right? And so you're walking in, you don't know what you have, and passion, right? There's a lot of passion and emotion, and then they can easily turn that on to police officers. So it's certainly a dangerous situation. Serving warrants is also one of the more dangerous aspects of law enforcement, particularly like that this case in
Charlotte,
as well as, you know, we just had one on Belle Isle yesterday. They were attempting to apprehend a parole absconder. And so when you're walking into the situation where you've got a violent felon who in this case in Charlotte, they believe he had weapons, you know, you have to look at all of the possible scenarios and situations to arrest a guy for your safety and for the safety of citizens, right? So when I was with the FBI, we put a lot of planning into when we executed a search warrant. You know, you wanted the lay of the land, like what does the house look like? What do the grounds look like? What is this guy's background? Does he have access to weapons? Are there other potential ways to arrest them? You know, car stops, that's different. Now you're giving them a 4,000-pound weapon to ram people with, right? You're getting them outside the house in the general area. Now other people may get, you know, in the way of.
Yeah, that's true. So that's true.
It's but you just have to think. You're not wrong, Paul. You just there may be a better scenario. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes taking them down at the house is the best for safety. But there's just, you know, levels of safety, and obviously this was a situation which was ended up being very unsafe, and you know, just a tragic day.
When you read the stories of each individual and the in this case wives and children that are left behind, it makes me happy that we in Detroit started the 100 Club, and William Packer's grandfather who started it, and now it's all over the country, where, because as you said, Andy, an officer goes out every day, he doesn't want to think of this all the time, but it's crossed his mind he may not be coming back at the end of the day. And sadly that does happen, and when it does, the 100 Club is there to give them, the remaining spouse and family, money, because frankly, if you have car payments or house payments, They don't really care that your husband or wife was just killed. They want their payment, and that's what the 100 Club will do. Hey, very quickly, how bad? It could have been pretty bad when the Wayne County deputies had to go to Belle Isle to pick up a guy who had a tether on his ankle, and he raised a gun to them, which is pretty stupid, and they shot him. But we didn't have any deputies hurt, did we?
I don't believe so. And yeah, that just amplifies the issue, right? The safety issue. They went out there to pick this guy up, and it turns into a shooting. You just never know, Paul.
You never know, which is why I thank officers whenever I see them. I always thank them for working. Luckily, it's usually at great events like the Ford fireworks or the America's Thanksgiving parade presented by Gardner White, whatever it might be. I thank those officers. I never pass the opportunity to thank them for working, especially on a holiday. Andy, thanks for everything you do and that you continue to help us, and you will not be a stranger around here, I promise.
Well, I thank you, Paul, and I'm glad you thanked God. I wish more people did. Thank you, though. Appreciate it.
Andy Arena, Executive Director of the Detroit Crime Commission, former head of the FBI in Detroit, as we continue in focus on WJR. Yes, indeed. And Chris has a very special guest as he welcomes back former President Donald Trump. That interview, I'm looking forward to it, is at 2:15 this afternoon. Chris Renwick, again, with former President Donald Trump, who was just fined $9,000 for contempt of court. And expect those numbers to go up because he's going to react to that, plus there's other charges against him. Be that as it may. Back to what we were just talking about with Andy Arena. This is an incredible number. Kim has forwarded to me that so far in, I can't believe this, so far in 2024, we have lost 55 law enforcement officers dying in the line of duty. It's only the beginning. It's the end of April, beginning of May. Is that possible that 55 have died in the line of duty? And six canine units, or the canine dogs. It's way, way out of control. This is just crazy. Well, we try to accentuate the positive, relentless positive radio, as Governor Rick Snyder used to say for us, and we appreciate. Let's talk about some of the positive things. Certainly, the glow of the draft is not going to go away quickly, and that's good. But, of course, as we tear down from the draft, we build up for the Detroit Chevrolet Grand Prix presented by Lear. So we thank Mary Barra and Mark Royce and Ray Scott from Lear and Sam Krasenstein, the chief of infrastructure for the city of Detroit, back with us. He was here with us before the draft. He's here now to talk about everything that's going on, which includes tearing down the draft site while setting up for the Grand Prix. Sam, nice to have you back.
Good afternoon. Thanks for continuing to have me.
Well, I hope to always, I will continue to have you as long as I can. And while the draft is now over, some downtown streets will remain closed as crews work to disassemble equipment, to clean up. They say that all streets are expected to be reopened by May 7th, possibly sooner. Is that the way you see it still?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're trending in a great direction right now. As people probably noticed, downtown Larded and Congress have both been open yesterday and today. So we're actually a couple days ahead of schedule on a few parts of our loadout here. So the other good news is Q Line is ahead of schedule and should be returning back to full service down to Congress Street on Thursday this week. So things are going really well. We're still on track that everything is closed up and cleaned out of here by Tuesday, May 7th. So we're in a really good spot right now,
which
is impressive when you consider, you know, it took 4 weeks to build this thing out. And in little more than a week, it's all going to be torn down and shipped out of here. It's pretty cool.
Well, it's not only pretty cool, it is not only did we have a record breaker at 775,000 people, we apparently are having a record breaker of getting things back to normal compared to the other places, because we were hearing the other places that have had the NFL draft would take 3 weeks or sometimes more to get back to normal. So this is really a record breaking, all good news. And then, of course, we are gearing up for another fabulous event, and that is, of course, the 2024 Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear, which is going to be Friday through Sunday, May 31st through June 2nd, on the second year on the downtown Detroit street circuit. So how much time are we going to have between getting all back to normal and then having to disassemble and start building up for the race?
Well, I mean, in some ways it's zero, because the build out for the Grand Prix track has already started. And so we're doing a lot of coordination, especially this coming weekend. We're actually going to start building that Jefferson Avenue pedestrian bridge right downtown, because we already have the closure for the NFL draft in place. So we're taking advantage of some of that to, you know, get things up and running. I think most people will really not notice any of the Grand Prix closures until later in May, when we start closing different lanes on Jefferson starting on May 18th, running for a few weeks there. So for most people, there's a few weeks of reprieve here before they really start to notice the Grand Prix build out starting to impact the commutes a little bit.
Yeah, and frankly, it should serve to give us a little advance excitement knowing what's coming. So, I mean, I'm looking at the positive side. By the way, what's this mean to you, Sam, if this means anything to you? The most sustainable Detroit Grand Prix in history, the first event in Michigan to achieve gold-level event certification through the Council of Responsible Sport, making the Detroit Grand Prix the first ever motorsports event worldwide to earn gold-level responsible sport certification. Does that mean anything to you?
Not by itself, no. I mean, we've been very fortunate that even last year, even without the actual certification, the Grand Prix team has been such great partners to the city of Detroit. And I think we were all really impressed with how that event was put together last year and how people turned up for it. And we expect that same level this year, you know, with or without the actual certification. We know the team has been great partners and we're set up for success this year. So as long as the weather cooperates, it's going to be a really great event. And the actual certification for being sustainable and being responsible is really just icing on top.
I was just going to use that term, icing on the cake. Sam Krasenstein, thank you for being with us, Chief of Infrastructure for the City of Detroit. Congratulations on a job well done, because it was absolutely spectacular. Detroit has been shining and will continue to. Thank you. We thank Mary Barra, Mark Royce, Ray Scott, for the 2024 Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear. As individuals, from the top, Roger Penske, Bud Denker, Mike Montrai, they are all into this whole sustainable gold-level responsible sports certification, so they've got it for this year. And we just salute them for doing such a great job and taking such good care, being good stewards of the city of Detroit for what is going to be an incredible race, May 31st through June 2nd. I cannot wait as we continue on WJR. Well, the judge in the Donald Trump thing is not a complete idiot. He has just... Because he would have lost on this one. I mean, he would have lost to people, just people in general. But the judge says that former President Donald Trump can indeed take the day off and go to Son Barron's high school graduation in Florida. I mean, that's just the right thing to do. This is not a guy who's up for serious charges. This is a guy who's up for charges that shouldn't even exist at this point. But so the judge is going to let President Trump go to Barron's high school graduation in Florida. Okay. We're very interested in the safety of everybody, but especially kids. And many years ago, we talked with a company and had them in the studio. In fact, they gave me a helmet. They were called Zenith, with an X, Zenith. And it was, I think, Pat McGinnon. And I don't know if they're still in business or not. But they were working on, as many companies were, safer football helmets for kids in grade school, high school, and certainly they would like to carry it over into the pros. Well, in fact, the NFL has approved those kind of rubbery tops that go over helmets. I didn't know what they were called. Apparently they're called guardian caps that many schools have used for practice. But now the NFL has approved them for game use. And apparently Livonia Churchill has been using them since 2017. Kudos to the head football coach at Livonia Churchill, Alan Feigl. Coach Feigl, that's tremendous.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, I mean, you had to probably put up with a lot of gas from a lot of people who tend to make fun of anything that is different or changes, but you didn't care because this made it safer for your kids.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I'm not a scientist. I'm not, I don't work for the Guardian Cap company, but I have a whole lot of common sense, and I play the game. I play the game at the collegiate level, and I can tell you that there's no magic bullet to this. I do think there's been an unfair attack on our game of football, but what has come out of that, in my opinion, the unfair attack, what has come out of that, though, is a safer game, a more of a sustainable game. The rules have changed for the better, and I think anytime you're talking about the head, which, by the way, hockey players go through the same challenges. Baseball, you know, you're getting baseballs whizzed at your head 100 miles an hour. Like, you know, football's not the only sport that has, you know, concerns with obviously number one safety, but even more importantly, head safety and trauma. And the Guardian Cap company came to us in 2017/2018, and they were relatively new on the scene. And we were one of, if not their very first Michigan clients, and that's NFL, college, high school, whatever. We were one of their very first clients, and I didn't even hesitate. And, you know, we wear them at practices. We wear them during camps. We wear them at seven-on-sevens, and we wear them for our scrimmages. The kids are now allowed to wear them in games. And I do remember vividly that when we first wore those, I had, you know, the players were kind of like, okay, coach, you know, if you're going to embrace this, we will. So we were very fortunate from that. The players didn't really push back. But other coaches from other teams literally made fun of us. They literally came up to me, what are you, making your kids soft? No, I want my kid who one day is going to be a functional member of society as a grown man to be able to remember his grandchildren's name.
Good for you.
So why am I being vilified for that? I kept asking myself that. But I kept going back to this. I don't really care because there's going to be nothing that trumps safety. I love this game. This game has done so much for me and now my own children who play Little League football. I think it's the last sport on earth that is structured the way it is, the discipline that's worked into it. So I'm going to do whatever I can do to protect the integrity of the game. And if that means stepping outside of the comfort zone a little bit, and now Guardian Caps, you know, fast forward here 6 or 7 years, Guardian Caps are pretty affluent. They're everywhere. You know, it's just something to me that, and this is a terrible pun and I apologize, but it's a no-brainer.
That's a great
pun.
You put
that thing on. You put that thing on. And again, even Guardian, the company, will say, this is not to prevent concussions. This is to reduce. And for us, we have seen, and I don't have empirical data to prove this, but again, going back to my common sense, for us, it's been the incidental contact. So, for example, a wide receiver jumping in the air to catch a ball who doesn't land on his feet, he lands on his backside, and his head snaps back during practice. I would like to think that if we didn't prevent concussion, we prevented a little bit of trauma. And if you listen to the scientists, it's not the first concussion. It's the cumulative effect of repeated head blows. Well, if we can soften these head blows, which, by the way, again, if you're coaching this properly, and we coach a specific tackling style, we never coach the head into the game, and that's why I mentioned there's no silver bullet here. There's no one cure all. The bottom line is the rules have made it safer. I'll never say football's safe, but football, I stopped playing 2017, and I can tell you right now, the game is in a way better spot right now than it was 17 years ago. But the mixture of rules, safety protocols like concussion protocols. If a kid remotely even has a symptom of a concussion, there's a protocol they go through. They could sit out up to 5 days minimum, depending upon what happened and what are the symptoms. I think you mix all that into a pot, and I think you're protecting the game. America's now new favorite sport. It's been like that for a few decades. And case in point, look at the draft. I mean, football is an amazing sport. And to be honest with you, more boys and girls probably should be participating in football, but we have to do our part, and we got to show the parents that, you know, yes, it can be a physical game, just like hockey, just like mat wrestling can be. But that doesn't mean we should run away from those kind of things. You know, driving vehicles is dangerous. Little kids driving bikes, there's more kids that die in this country getting hit by cars driving bikes than they get hurt playing football. So I guess I'm just – For me, that's just one added component for us of just trying to make it as safe as possible.
Coach, I got to tell you, it is an honor and a pleasure and a privilege meeting you as an evangelist for safer football. And you don't take away from the excitement of the game one iota. And I salute you, too, for putting up with I don't want to call them idiots, but other coaches that would pick on you for doing something that doesn't take away from the game but protects your kids. That is excellent.
Absolutely.
I mean, that is a you're a stand-up guy, and I salute you for that. And I'm here to tell you, high school football is better because of you. Alan Feigl, head football coach, Livonia Churchill. Thank you on behalf of all parents everywhere for standing up for your kids and giving them an opportunity to have that softer material on the helmets absorb the initial impact, lowering the forces on the hard shell, in turn lowering forces exerted on the head, doesn't take anything away from the game, but is doing all kinds of good things for those kids and their future. God bless you, Coach.
You as well. Thank you so much.
Coach Alan Feigl, what a guy. Head football coach Livonia Churchill. We should all learn a little lesson about standing up for what's right, no matter what. What a beautiful day. I hope you're enjoying yourself here on News Talk 760 WJR, the great voice of the Great Lakes. And if you can't be with us noon to 2, or tell your friends that can't be with us, they can certainly stream us. You can stream us all the time at WJR.com or the WJR app, and you can get our podcast. It's real easy, and it's wonderful quality, and you can be very organized to follow along, listen whenever you can or whenever you want to. We hope you will. The team is here. Mike Parsons, who you hear first thing in the morning, 5 to 6 a.m. with Renee. Danielle Mason, pressing all the controls for many shows, and then Rich Luzinski, who apparently lives at WJR with our WJR traffic and weather first. Don't forget, in just over an hour, Chris Renwick of JR Afternoon will once again have on former President Donald Trump. Lots to talk about, that's for sure. It's been a busy day. He was fined $9,000 for contempt of court, et cetera, et cetera. But he's been allowed to leave to go see his son's high school graduation, which was a pretty no-brainer for the judge. Meanwhile, we've got lots going on here. There's a couple of things. I don't know where to start. You know, there's been a lot of, there's been a lot made of Governor Kristi Noem. Is that how I say her name? Noem?
Yeah, Kristi Noem, yeah.
Yeah, because she put in her book that she had to kill a 14-month-old pointer that had bitten her and had caused some trouble, attacked chickens, did a lot of stuff that a hunting dog is not supposed to do. And she said, quote, "I realized I had to put her down." She then led Cricket to a gravel pit and killed her. So there was a lot of backlash to that story, a lot of people very upset.
Yeah, well, and also, you know, she said she hated that dog. She kind of wrote about it a little too gleefully, which I think probably gave a lot of people the creeps.
Yeah, and it was a long time ago, wasn't it?
I don't know how long ago it was, but
I don't know. They said, she said, look, in response to this, hey, look, we love animals, but tough decisions like this happen all the time on a farm. Sadly, we just had to put down 3 horses a few weeks ago that had been in our family for 25 years. So you have to ask yourself the question, why did she feel it was important to include this story in her book? It'd be an easy one to have passed over.
Right. Like, who's relating to that? Who's the target audience? Because we all know that these politicians write books to raise their profile in hopes of running for higher office and,
right.
and you know, make them more likable. Who's sitting there reading about her shooting her dog saying, yep, I relate to this?
Here's the problem I think might have happened. I have no idea. But I tried to think, why would you put that in the book? Is she trying to delineate, draw a line between herself and President Biden? Because President Biden knowingly allowed his dog to bite several, like over 12, Secret Service agents. Is she trying to indicate that she would never allow that to happen, and this is what makes me different from Joe Biden? That's the only thing I can come up with, and that I'm stretching on.
Yeah, I haven't thought about that, but I mean, that's very possible.
I mean, there's no other reason to have that story in her book.
Well, and you would think that one of her people would go to her and say, look, Christy, this is a story that's not going to look, it's not going to reflect very favorably on
you. That's why you have editors.
Right. Well, I would imagine that the people who published the book didn't mind having it in there because it's controversy and it gets people talking about her book. But
yeah,
someone
that,
on her,
that was some big mistake.
I agree. And somebody on her team should have said, look, there's absolutely no advantage in putting this in your book.
Yeah. All right. Another note here. In fact, I'm going to put you on assignment, Mike Parsons, as if you don't have enough to do. The Federal Trade Commission said this week that some people who had bought certain home security cameras made by Ring, which is owned by Amazon, would be eligible for refunds for their purchase. The payments, totaling more than $5.6 million, are part of a settlement between Ring and the FTC over claims that the company failed to protect customer accounts. Could you look into that for those of us who have Ring doorbells? I'd certainly like to know if I'm supposed to be able to get a part of $5.6 million and if my listeners,
let's see,
have also bought Ring doorbells and figure out how we're supposed to, what are we supposed to do after hearing a story like this?
Right.
I don't know.
So, yeah, the
you don't have to do it right now, but just if you could find something.
Yeah, I'll see what I can find. I found an article on it, so maybe by the end of the show I'll have an answer for you.
Okay. Are forever chemicals in your favorite sparkling water? Kim loves sparkling water. Kim is stopping drinking sparkling water because it's overall, it can cause troubles for your stomach. Now they're finding many brands of sparkling water have PFAS levels of more than one part per trillion, exceeding the Environmental Working Group's recommendation. So it's another day, another potential toxin in one of your favorite products you have to worry about. PFAS in sparkling water. So, again, I go to what I have all the time. I go to my Absopure. It is vapor distilled water plus electrolytes. I swear by it. I believe in it. I think it'd be good for you, too. And I'm just pointing out. Now, we've been hearing about, and I haven't talked too much about it, fragments of bird flu virus discovered in milk. I stopped using milk as a beverage a long time ago. I'll put a little half and half in my coffee sometimes. But I don't know how much we have to worry about that. Now they're checking beef. Didn't I read a dolphin or a porpoise? One of those died from bird flu. Did you see that?
No. So it's bird flu in the cow's milk. So it's crossing species here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's going to cross into people. And though they downplay that, that's a very strong possibility. Now, back to the plus side. You know what is coming up May 4th. You know what May 4th is?
May the 4th be with you. Is that
yes?
What? Yes. Okay. All
that's
right.
That's it.
That was my only guess.
National Star Wars Day. And so people are breaking out their lightsabers ahead of May the 4th, which is National Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you.
I choose to celebrate privately.
That's just the kind of guy you are. I did not remember this, but I don't remember things like where I live sometimes, that the Blue Star Wars milk from A New Hope has hit grocery store shelves ahead of May the 4th, being sold by True Moo and Kemp's Dairy Brands. Now, I don't know if that's anywhere around us, if there are True Moo milks products.
I see those at your Kroger and your Meijer. So
you do?
They're True readily Moo. Available.
Okay, so I'm afraid I don't remember why. If I ever knew, it's blue.
I wonder what flavor
that
is.
Did they drink blue milk in Star Wars?
Did they drink blue milk in Star Wars, Richard? Yes, they did. Yeah, the first one, I guess they did.
Okay, so the iconic blue milk from Star Wars hits the store shelves. It should be there now if you're interested, and you want to have it on May 4th for the May the 4th Be With You National Star Wars Day. We just want our listeners to be prepared for everything. As we continue, on WJR. Wow. We've gone metal. And if you're listening on the podcast, you have no idea what I'm talking about because there's no music on the podcast. Hey, Mike Parsons, very efficient, good guy that he is, has found an answer because of the headline I pointed out, how to claim your part of $5.6 million Ring settlement with FTC for those of us who have those Ring doorbells. What did you find, Mike?
Well, essentially, the FTC is saying, don't call us, we'll call you. This is Associated Press and said that according to a Tuesday notice, the FTC is sending 117,000 payments to impacted customers. So it sounds like they'll send it to you if you're eligible for the money.
Okay. I guess I got a lot of questions, but I don't know. I don't know what to say.
You sit around and wait for the settlement fairy to bless you or something.
It says, how do I find out if I'm eligible for the refund? If you had a Ring account and certain types of Ring devices, such as the indoor camera models, stick-up cam, indoor cam, before February 1st, 2018, you're eligible for a refund.
And how much was that refund for altogether?
I don't see, but usually it's about 75 cents or 50 cents.
I was going to say, whatever the settlement was divided by 117,000, that's not much.
And then the lawyers and the first people who brought the suit get the billions and billions of dollars. Well, not really, but anyway, the class action suits, things like that, don't really generally pay very well.
Right.
All right, anyway, so, okay, that's kind of an answer. And the answer is there is no answer. You get mailbox money and be excited when it comes through.
Just watch your mailboxes.
That's right. So there's been some good news. I saw this story in today's Detroit News, page 7A. NFL stage to be recycled to build spay and neuter clinic. And, of course, Mike Parsons, our executive producer, got on that right away and has found the executive director at Detroit Dog Rescue, Christina Millman Rinaldi. Christina, it's Paul W. Smith. Hello.
Hi, how are you guys?
I am excellent, and I am thrilled to hear that all of that material is not going to waste. In fact, it's going to a very good cause, you.
Hey, it's going to the community, and we're excited about it. And not only is it going to Detroit Dog Rescue, you know, I've been on the phone actually this morning with the Public Safety Foundation, and I was on the phone earlier this week with Blightbuster. So we're happy to be a part of this. And, you know, Arts and Scraps has been down there and helping to get it to not only Detroit Dog Rescue, but a lot of nonprofits that help the community.
In fact, Christopher Moyer, our friend who's been on a few times from Visit Detroit, says that they have an entire list of the nonprofits that will benefit. It's an extensive sustainability plan. When did you find out that, or did you have to throw your hat in the ring? When did you find out you would possibly be getting some of these materials?
You know, I'm so lucky that Detroit Dog Rescue, we've helped so many people in the community. When they call, there's a dog in our lot or a dog in the yard, we're there. And we actually got a call weeks and weeks ago when the planning of this was happening from Penske, you know, from the Penske truck company. And they gave us a call and said, is this something you can help with? And, you know, would you want the materials? And of course we jumped on it as we were already in the process of building a free spay and neuter clinic for the city of Detroit. And we jumped on it, and we have been down there since Sunday, late Sunday, kind of identifying materials, picking them up, sorting them for not only ourselves, but for some other nonprofits as well.
So turf, fencing, what kinds of things did you get?
So almost everything that you saw down there, you know, some nonprofits came in and said, oh, it's too torn up, we can't use it. Hey, at Detroit Dog Rescue, we are resourceful. We've got turf, we've got fence wrapping, down to my team just loaded. When you look at the stage, on either side of the stage, there's kind of an arch doorway where Barry Sanders came out, Eminem came out. We just loaded those arch doorways. And plywood, 2x4s, I mean, everything in our backyard. We're going to use to make a scent trail. We're going to use for our spay and neuter clinic. So a lot of great recycling in Detroit going on here for the community.
You know what? The harder you work, Christina, the luckier you get. Christina Milman,
I truly
Rinaldi.
Believe that.
Well, it's what my grandfather used to say, and I still believe it myself. I'm glad you do, too. And so for people who don't know, Detroit Dog Rescue is focused on raising awareness for the plight of the forgotten, homeless, and stray dogs of Detroit, along with advocating for humane rescue alternatives such as no-kill sheltering, foster care and adoptions, pet identification, and healthy pet population control through spay and neutering. Is there anything you need from us? Is there anything we can do to help other than letting people know that you exist?
Oh, thanks for asking. Detroit Dog Rescue, we've been going since 2010. We're Detroit's first no-kill shelter. What we need right now is we have these materials. My good friend Kathy Bissell called me from Bissell Pet Foundation, of course, Bissell Vacuum. Right now this week, she and the Bissell team are matching $20,000 in donations to get these materials built and going for the spay-neuter clinic. So if anyone wants to donate, DetroitDogRescue.com. We have naming opportunities and all of that. Anybody can contact me for that. But matching donations are happening right now.
DetroitDogRescue.com. DetroitDogRescue.com. And I know you're not just a name dropper. You said my good friend Kathy Bissell. Is that the famous Bissell from the Bissell vacuum cleaner?
She is. She absolutely is.
Is she from around? Is she from around here?
Yeah. Yes, Bissell is a Michigan-made company based in Grand Rapids. And, she, you know, her and I have been friends for... She called me 6 years ago when I was in the middle of rescuing a dog and said, I want to help. And we have teamed up for many rescue efforts, and she has been a big part of planning this spay-neuter clinic through her program, Fix the Future. And when I say good friend really cares about Detroit and has really helped Detroit Dog Rescue. So we're excited about this.
Well, that's excellent. You know, when you do what you do and people learn about it, you're going to have friends because people love their dogs and never like to see a problem. I just saw on television somebody dumped a dog out of their car. This was on like Inside Edition or something. And this poor dog is running down the street trying to get back in the car, catches up with the car three different times, and still the person in the car wouldn't open the door, wouldn't let the dog back in. It was horrible. I mean, it was just... Any of us who could have gotten our hands on that person would have made it a pretty ugly situation. And now we also have this woman who was hoping to be Donald Trump's vice presidential candidate. What is her name? Kathy Noem?
Kristi Noem.
Kristi Noem. Thank you, Mike. Kristi Noem, it has a new book out and talks about, I don't know when this happened, but she had a 14-month-old dog that was going to be trained as a hunting dog, I guess, but killed a bunch of chickens and then even bit her. So she put the dog down, and she's going through hell right now because of that.
Wow, I have not read up on that story, but if it were up to me, hey, I would just be voting dogs for president right now. So it's all good.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
It's really sad. We had a dog actually just this morning that was dumped in our alley of the shelter. So, you know, it's a sad situation for dogs. And, you know, I even hear some of the most heartbreaking stories from people as well who have to surrender their dogs. So here to help and help.
There are some tough decisions out there. We know that President Biden didn't make the tough decision to have his dog go away that bit several Secret Service agents. You don't advocate that either. But there are places like Detroit Dog Rescue around the country that will take a problem dog off your hands, which would keep you from going through what Governor Kristi Noem is going through right now with a tremendous backlash over killing a problem dog. Good luck to you.
Absolutely. We're always here to help.
Christine Milman Rinaldi, Executive Director of the Detroit Dog Rescue. Go to DetroitDogRescue.com and help them out. They could use some money. They've got a bunch of supplies right now from the NFL draft. Now they need to put them all together. DetroitDogRescue.com. Maybe you can use some people with certain construction skills as well to maybe help out. Thank you, Christina.
Christian, we're here for it. Thank you, Dave.
You take care. Bye-bye. As we continue in Focus with Paul W. Smith at WJR. I think we forgot to even, Mike, we haven't said a word about why the show changed today. We were supposed to be.
All right.
We were doing our Detroit Economic Club Detroit Tigers Day broadcast. And because the Tigers were rained out yesterday, last minute, poor Steve Gregorian running around making the changes, the Tigers let him know they couldn't be at the lunch today. So without the Tigers at a Tigers lunch, we had no lunch. That's why we aren't doing the Detroit Economic Club broadcast today. We have another one Thursday, and that should be okay. But I don't think we ever mentioned it.
No, you're right. We just got into the meat of the show. I never thought that we'd have a Detroit Economic Club luncheon rained out. That was not on my bingo
yeah,
card.
I was like, how can you do that? And poor Steve, I said, can you contact 300-400 people and tell them don't show up tomorrow? And apparently he did. He had to. So anyway, those are some of the things that can happen when you're running a big event. And Steve has been doing a great job with that, especially this year with the Detroit Economic Club, all of these wonderful lunches. And we're thrilled to be there for them and do a broadcasting from many of them. Again, as I say, we'll be there Thursday. And that's the guy from T-Mobile, I think, is there Thursday. And T-Mobile just got hit, like all the wireless companies, got hit with some fines. And I don't remember why. I just saw that and I went, oh, geez, I hope they don't cancel. That would be unprecedented. No, it's not going to happen. All right. If you're out and about driving, you'll want to hear this. Jim Santilli is the Chief Executive Officer, Transportation Improvement Association, to talk to us about Operation Ghost Rider, where they're saying, hey, be sure to keep your hands on the wheel, eyes on the road, because Operation Ghost Rider is in effect in Michigan. And in fact, as we speak, he's not driving the car because he couldn't do this interview if he were driving the car. He is in a spotter vehicle looking for people who are not following the law. Jim, welcome to Focus, and tell me what you're doing.
Thank you, Paul. Great to speak to you again. So again, we're out here conducting Operation Ghost Rider. And what Operation Ghost Rider is, it's a distracted driving enforcement initiative that uses unmarked spotter vehicles, which contain a law enforcement passenger. So in here right now, I have a trooper paired up with me. When the spotters observe a distracted driver, they radio a fully marked law enforcement unit to initiate a traffic stop.
So when you think you're in the clear and no one's around, and you do something on your, let's say, cell phone that is distracting, and you're not supposed to have it in your hands, you may think you're off scot-free, and the next thing you know, a marked car is pulling you over, and you might even be done using the phone, but it doesn't matter because you were spotted by a ghost rider.
That's correct, and a good example of that yesterday, Paul, was we had a Clinton Township officer who was behind a vehicle, and the driver was typing on her phone, and I think she assumed that the officer behind her couldn't see, and we were actually next to her in the spotter vehicle or the ghost vehicle and radioed to the Mark Clinton Township unit to initiate the traffic stop.
Ay, ay, ay. Tell me about the penalties when this happens.
Okay, so, you know, it really depends how it's cited, and oftentimes we see drivers committing multiple violations such as speeding, red light running, but a violation for the hands-free law includes the first violation is a $100 fine and or 16 hours of community service. Second or subsequent violations is a $250 fine and or 24 hours of community service. And three violations within a three-year period requires that the driver complete a driving improvement course. Now, fines are doubled if a traffic crash occurs and the at-fault driver was holding or manually using that mobile electronic device while operating the vehicle. But one thing I want to remind drivers is they can also be cited in a variety of instances for careless driving, which is a three-point offense, and a civil infraction carrying a several $100 penalty.
And before you call 1-800-CALL-SAM, you have to understand that they, the police, will be able to look at your cell phone and can tell if you were, in fact, using your cell phone at the time of the crash, right?
Well, you know, it really depends on the situation, but oftentimes it's captured on cameras. I know some agencies are pointing the body camera over at the driver, so they do capture it on there. But, you know, in these situations, we also, you know, besides, you know, oftentimes video evidence, we have a number of witnesses as well. You know, and one thing I want to emphasize, this isn't about, you know, writing tickets. If we had our way, we'd have zero traffic stops. But, you know, this is about saving lives, preventing injuries, making the road safer for everyone so everyone's loved one returns home every day.
Well, and no one can fault you for that, that's for sure. What occurs to me, though, is this is a problem for those of us who have taken very good care of our cars and are proud to say, I have a couple of cars that are 10 years old, and they look almost brand new, and I love driving them. However, I can't use my phone at all the way that people have to use their phones now. It won't connect to the dashboard so that I can use the phone hands-free. So I don't know how many people are in the same position as me, but it's going to force us into getting new cars. So this could be good for business as well as safe.
Well, and really, Paul, in that instance, they could always get a mounting device as well to mount it in the vehicle. And the law does permit you to do a single swipe or tap. So as long as you're using it in a hands-free mode, that's still permitted. You just can't hold the phone in your hand.
It's just not the same as being able to look at that big screen on the dashboard and seeing, in my case, where you have to go, because I never have any idea. I am geographically challenged. All right. Everyone's been forewarned. Have you gotten anyone yet today while you're riding in the ghost vehicle?
Oh, we've gotten, can't even tell you how many. So most definitely, you know, and again, we just want to remind drivers to keep their eyes on the road and hands on the wheel when operating a motor vehicle and drive safely at all times.
Operation Ghost Rider in effect. They're looking for you if you're a distracted driver, and you won't see them, but you will see the marked car that pulls you over. Jim Santilli, Chief Executive Officer, Transportation Improvement Association. Thank you for all you do, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Paul, and thanks for getting this important safety message out.
Well, we wanted to forewarn our listeners here as we continue in Focus on WJR. Congratulations to the Detroit News reporters who've won three National Headliner Awards. The Headliner Awards, one of the oldest and most prestigious annual journalism contests in the nation, and it includes Detroit News reporters Kara Berg, Craig Mauger, a regular on the show, and Carol Thompson. So congratulations to those Detroit News reporters winning those three National Headliner Awards. Also, I hate to be the bearer of such news, but it might be wine time or beer 30, happy hour, 5 o'clock somewhere. They say, according to the Associated Press, maybe it's also time to rethink drinking. Moderate drinking was once thought to have benefits for the heart, but better research methods have thrown cold water on that. Drinking less is a great way to be healthier. This, according to Dr. Timothy Namey, who directs the Canadian Institute for Substance Use Research at the University of Victoria in British Columbia. Guidelines vary a lot from country to country, but the overall trend is toward drinking less. I'm sorry to be the bearer of that bad news, and that doesn't mean you're going to start drinking less, but I just wanted to let you know the latest findings. And as we've learned, there could be another report out in several days that debunks that one. So you just never know. I think everything in moderation and use your head. That's what I think. What do you think, Chris?
Everything in moderation? I'm going to pretend you didn't just tell me that.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to do.
And there's that, too. That's not a bad idea.
La, 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 I can't hear you.
That's not a bad idea either. It is a beautiful day. You're going to have a great show, and you're kicking it off in minutes at about 2:15. You will once again welcome the former president of the United States of America, Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a spirited discussion yesterday, and you know, I think with the escalation of what we're seeing on college campuses, He had some thoughts on that. And you've got, you know, former Detroit shock jock. That's where he, of course, became famous. Howard Stern.
Yeah.
Was talking with President Joe Biden, who says that he will debate Donald Trump. So we talked about that as well.
Yeah, but you'll notice that the Biden camp has not really responded or said, yeah, we're ready, we'll do it anytime, because they don't want him to. Most Democrats don't want him to debate because it would not be, at this point, a fair fight. And the fact that he chooses to go on with Howard Stern, clearly they had an arrangement, and Howard either told him what he was going to ask him, or Howard is against Donald Trump. He used to be Donald Trump's friend.
Right.
I understand that. And now he's way, way against Donald Trump. But to go on Howard Stern is to forget how Howard Stern became Howard Stern and the terrible, terrible, ugly things he did on the road to becoming now thought of as a fabulous interviewer. And he's got all this time so he can really delve into the interviews. And God bless him for all that. But I can't forget, because I was around, when he literally led a woman to her death, the wife of a morning guy. Howard was brutal against morning shows that were beating him, and there were many of us who beat him in Philadelphia, and he was brutal to one guy named, I think his name was John DiBella, and he put his wife on when they were going through a rough time or a divorce. She went home and killed herself, and I'll never forget that, but everyone has forgiven and forgotten. And they don't think about the past with Howard Stern, but I'll never forget it because I was there. I used to sit in his studio when he was doing afternoons at WNBC. Mm. So anyway, to me, that's a slap in the face of all the media people who've been trying to interview President Biden.
Right.
It's a real slap in the face. And why you have newspapers like the New York Times, which were nothing but supportive. Talk about, what is it, capture and kill or whatever. I mean, the New York Times has been doing capture and kill without having to pay the money on many stories regarding Hunter Biden, regarding Joe Biden, etc. And yet even they can't stand it, and they have to come out and complain that the president will not make himself available for interviews. And then he goes on an interview with America's first shock jock.
Yeah, it's what I very much respect about Donald Trump. It's like he knows that he's got to get to your everyday voters. And he, you know, he's coming to town Wednesday. He's putting a big priority on Michigan. And I think that if you go back, Paulie, to 2016, Hillary Clinton paid very little attention to the mitten here. And Donald Trump hit it very hard and he won. And so I think he's kind of going back to that blueprint here.
Well, it seems so. And, you know, there's a lot going on. And, you know, not the least of which is if you talk to him yesterday, you won't be able to ask him about, I don't think he'd yet been fined $9,000 for contempt of court. I don't think he had yet found what was, I think, announced today. The judge is not stupid. The judge is allowing him to take the day off to go to his son's high school graduation. Those are two things that I think happened today. If you, in fact, had to interview him yesterday, I fully understand that.
Yep.
Can you just give us a little hint of some of the things you talked about?
So we talked about the comments that the president made about a debate. We talked about that. We talked about how important Michigan is. We also talked about Israel, and we talked about this potential deal that's on the table for a release of hostages and a ceasefire and how much responsibility should educational leaders bear when it comes to what's happening on their campuses, like we're seeing at Columbia.
I'll be very interested to hear his answer on that.
I'll tell you, he feels, and he said he put it on Truth Social as well, but he said he feels very strongly that Hamas doesn't have the amount of living hostages as maybe some believe in the United States and Israel. And so it would make it very difficult for them to come to terms to an agreement because they may not have all the hostages that are believed to be alive still.
Frankly, it's shocking to me the number of living hostages we've seen. Now, of course, I think you mentioned this yesterday, just because we see them on a video doesn't mean that they're alive still.
It could have been shot, you know, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, they're not holding up a New York Times with the date on it.
No, no.
So we don't really know for sure. Mm. It's just a sad situation. I do want to hear what he has to say about what's run amok on college campuses and what sad, inept losers, presidents of some of the what we thought were the finest and once were the finest universities in America, not able to control what's going on here.
Yeah.
It's all coming up. JR Afternoon, Chris Renwick, former President Donald Trump at 2:15. Don't miss it. Meanwhile, go on out and enjoy this sunshine. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous day. While you're on your way to making each and every day count, because each day really is a gift. Practice gratitude and your life will be better immediately. We look forward to being with you tomorrow from noon till 2. Regards, Paul W. Smith.